Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy, and I'm inviting you to join me each and every Wednesday so you can be prepared to win the battle for business. That's right. Now, listen, I know you're out there. You're closing deals. You're making money. You're turning prospects into profits. That's why I have to have on the kinds of guests that you can listen, learn, and earn from. Today's guest is absolutely no exception. So thank you for being on board today, and thank you for sharing some of your time with me. And as always, a special thanks to our sponsor, Corbett Public Relations, where they've been promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. So do yourself a favor. Visit Bill and his team at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. Welcome aboard, everybody. Now, it's no secret that Americans are getting bigger. If you go to any store, you walk down the street, you can all notice the expanding waistlines. According to the CDC, 42% of adult Americans are obese, and an additional 31% of adult Americans are overweight. What we have here is a societal crisis. It's a hot topic. It's getting hotter. Now, we could certainly talk about, you know, what are the underlying causes? Is it poor dietary habits? Could be. Is it bad processed foods? Could be. A sedentary lifestyle? Sure. Then there's the whole issue and factor of self-esteem, which certainly plays into it. Then, which is becoming, unfortunately, more and more prevalent, is fat shaming. And if you're a girl or you're a woman and you are scrolling on Instagram and you're seeing these images of these bikini-clad fitness models and influencers doing one-arm handstands, and then you think of yourself and you're like, oh my God, what's the sense? Talk about having your self-esteem spiral downward. So how do you fix what is really an epidemic in America? Is there any one answer? I really don't think so. But actually, while I was on Instagram, I came across somebody who really caught my attention. And I think she's going to make one hell of a guest. And she might be able to, I think not might, but I think she absolutely can shed some light on the stigma of fat and what it is to be fat. But not just that, how you can reclaim your life. And she has taken her challenges of dealing with weight and she's turned it into a really noticeable and exciting brand. She's written a book. She has quite a following on Instagram and social. And her book, let me get the title right here, Not Your Average Runner, Why You're Not Too Fat to Run and the Skinny on How to Start Today. She's Jill Angie. She's the guest for today. And again, it is an epidemic with nearly 70% of the adult American population either being obese or overweight. Something has to be done. And what are the answers? I don't know. It's a complex problem. But we have in Jill Angie as a guest today, somebody who's got a really interesting take on it. And she is sharing her start again, stop again relationship with running as something that could be one of the great options for people out there today. So it is a pleasure to welcome aboard the Profit Express, Jill Angie, Not Your Average Runner. Jill, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. And like I said, your profile on Instagram caught my attention. And what caught my attention is you said you are a fat running coach. It was part of your, I guess, your profile description on Instagram. And I read that. I'm like, fat running coach? And you said you're here to help, I guess, as part of your mission, right? Here to help fat women over 40 start running. Now, I'm not a woman, right? Now, I am a runner myself, so I love running, okay? But I'm like, wow. You know, she refers to herself as a fat runner. She's here to help fat women start running over the age of 40. And so you think from a branding perspective, that's really interesting. And then it gets me thinking from a business perspective, and it gets me thinking from a fat shaming perspective. So I'm glad to have you on. I love your content and what you share on social. You have a lot of people following you, so I know you're doing some great work. So welcome aboard. And let me start with this. Why did you choose, you know, a brand like this? Why do you identify yourself as a fat runner?
It's a great question. And it's been sort of an evolution for me. I've been a runner for about 25 years. And when I started running, I did it because I wanted to lose weight. I was unsuccessful with that. And I kind of went through, you know, sort of a metamorphosis, I guess, in my mind, thinking, well, you know, you actually like the running part of it. And yeah, it didn't work for weight loss, but let's not just quit running because it didn't work.
Right.
And so I kept on running and, you know, I finished several half marathons, triathlons, like I've run pretty long distances. And I realized that maybe about 10 years ago that maybe there were other women out there like me who wanted to be athletes, but had this belief that, oh, you know, I can't do it if I'm fat, or I can't do it unless I'm trying to lose weight. And I thought, and I was trying to like figure out what I wanted to do with my life, because I was realizing that the 9-to-5 career I was in was not it.
Right,
and I thought, hey, maybe I'll start a business and I'll help other fat women. Like, you know, I started out actually as a personal trainer, and then I added in the running coaching after that. And it's been really rewarding.
So obviously running is a huge part of who you are, and you have the book. And in the book, I didn't read the whole book, okay, but you talked about your first 5K. For those who don't know, the 5K is 3.1 miles. It's a big milestone when you start running. And you shared this story. And again, you know, the Prophet expresses about an awareness. And people talk themselves out of so many things in life, whether personally or professionally. And so, if you know, you're finding these people, these fat women who are thinking, okay, Jill can do it, I can do it, right? So share your 5K experience. That was a funny story.
Okay, so it was 1998, and, you know, so almost, again, I started running about 25 years ago. So 1998, it was before, like, 5Ks were on every corner every weekend.
Yeah,
it was before... I mean, honestly, it was only about 30 years after the first woman ran in the Boston Marathon. So it wasn't something like it was. You would go to a 5K and it would be, you know, mostly men and just real thin, fit, super fit looking people, the way, you know, the way you would imagine a fit person would look.
Right.
And so here I show up, right? I've been running for maybe about a year at that point in time. I didn't even know if I could finish. And I showed up and I'm looking around and I'm like, these are not my people. I do not belong here. I felt very uncomfortable. I was definitely like the largest person there. But I said, well, I trained for this thing. I paid my money, so I'm going to do it. And so I started the race and I ran, I finished it in about 42 minutes and I wasn't last, which at the time that seemed like the worst thing possible, was that I would be last. And now I'm like, oh, whatever, I'll be last. That's fine. I'm just happy to finish. But The fun part was, like, at the very end, my best friend was there kind of to cheer me on, and her 6-year-old son saw me coming and his like little arms and legs, he like ran across the finish line with me. Like it was like I had just won the Olympics, and it made it like a really special experience just to have, I don't know, just to have people there finishing with me. And I kind of saw like how supportive the running community actually is. Like once I ran this race and realized like, okay, well, I'm a fat person and everybody else here is thin, but that doesn't mean that runners aren't awesome people. And so it was overall a really great experience and kind of got me kind of addicted to it. Although then the next day I thought, okay, I'm going to take a rest day. And then I think it was probably 3 or 4 months before I ran again, because I got, you know, I let my thoughts get the best of me, but I came back to it and here we are today.
So this is, again, congratulations for doing that first 5K. It's certainly a great milestone for somebody starting out. Now, because again, you talk about, you know, starting and stopping running over the years, and you've been running for, you said, what, 20, 25 years now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you said something.
Yeah, and there have been, sorry.
Now, you said something very interesting because, you know, why do people have problems with weight? And, you know, there's self-esteem. And you talk about it, you know, in your book and on your podcasts. And you said you stopped for about 3 months after that first 5K because of your thoughts. What were your thoughts? Why did you stop?
I think my thoughts were just, I can't even remember at the time, but it was probably something along the lines of, I'm not good at this, and this is too hard for me, right? It was all very sort of self-defeating way of thinking.
So, okay. So you let those thoughts kind of, you know, sideline you for 3 months, then you decide to get back into it, okay? Mm-hmm. What does running mean to you?
Oh, it's so funny because running is everything to me.
Okay.
It really is.
Okay.
And I'm not a talented runner. I'm not a fast runner. And there are plenty of days where I wake up and think, no, I'm going to skip my run today, right? I'm not like the kind of runner that never, ever misses a workout.
Right.
But it's freedom, right? It's freedom. And I have a little bit of a rebellious streak inside me. And so running is, you know, kind of a little like, you know, kind of nod to the people who say, oh, you know, fat girls shouldn't run. I'm like, okay, well, watch me train for this marathon then, right? So it's a little bit of a rebellion, I think, against the diet and fitness industry and what they tell us we should look like and what they say our body should look like. But it really is freedom to me because there's nothing easier than just putting on your shoes and walking out the door and going for a run. And you never know what you're going to see. You never know, you know, what's going to happen. And I live in Philadelphia, so I go out the door and I've got the whole city at my feet, and who knows like what exciting thing I'm going to see. And, you know, there's always coffee at the end.
If nothing else, there's some coffee, right?
There's always coffee. Yeah.
So, all right. So as I said earlier, I'm a runner too. I actually ran a half marathon in June. I have a personal goal of running 1,000 miles this year. And as of yesterday, I think about 720. So I'm on pace. I got to do a little over 100 each month. Not going to be easy for me. Now, so this is funny. So here's a confession, Jill. So I've been running 5Ks, 10Ks. I've only run 2 half marathons. I'm not nearly the runner you are. And I'm an in-fit guy. I've been going to the gym a long, long time. I lift weights, blah, blah, blah. So here's the confession, and I'm going to, for the first time ever, I'm sharing it. All right, you ready? So in all of these 5Ks or 10Ks that I've run over the years, and I've probably been running actively for about 10 years, I cannot tell you how many times I'm running. And I run at like a 9:30 pace, so I'm not super fast, I'm not super slow. Do you know how many times, Jill, somebody who is short, squat, you know, a fat person, and I don't mean that in a negative way, and we're going to talk about that, who even like had a bit of a gimp, passed me by, and I got beaten by people who weren't supposed to beat me because I'm an in-shape guy, I'm fit, I go to the gym. I can't tell you how many people who didn't fit the prototypical running body completely blew me by in a race. That's my confession.
I think that's awesome, honestly, because you really can't judge a book by its cover. And I think that's one of the frustrating things for me as a fat athlete. I mean, I'm personally not one of those people that ever blew by you. I definitely run a lot slower than that, but I do know, and I have fat clients who do run that pace, and you wouldn't know it to look at them. And so I think that's one of the things that I'm kind of trying to accomplish with the work that I do is to, you know, encourage more, you know, fat people, people of size to get out there, to run in public, to do athletic things in public, to normalize that athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and that you can't necessarily judge someone's performance based solely on what they look like.
Right. So again, you mentioned it in the book. You know, it's out there. It's on Instagram. It's on social everywhere. Fat shaming. And then you mentioned fat athletes. And you and I spoke a little bit before the show today. And I asked you, and I was just like, I was raised that way. I don't call people fat. I don't want to hurt people's feelings, you know. And I said, you know, Jill, can I refer to you as that? And I was being completely honest, right? I don't want to upset my guests. And you're like, yeah, Tim. So tell me what you're trying to do with the stigma of, you know, that's surrounding being fat.
Yeah. So that's a great question. I was also raised to believe that fat is a bad word, and also that being fat is the worst thing that you can be. I was definitely raised by a mother who was obsessed with, you know, me not being overweight, which I believe that her obsession with my weight is probably, you know, part of the reason that I... Like she would count my calories and write them down on the refrigerator every day. And it just, in any way, I have a little bit of PTSD from being raised in a real extreme diet atmosphere. But I think, like, you know, when I first started this business, I didn't use the word fat very often because I wasn't very comfortable with it. And I also thought that other people might be insulted. So I would use a lot of euphemisms like, you know, curvy, chunky, fluffy. I would also use words like plus sized, right?
Right.
Plus sized is a fashion industry term, which basically is like anybody that's over this size is plus size, which I find personally insulting that we can't just have sizes and not categorize them.
Right.
I prefer not to use the words overweight and obese, even though I wrote my book about 7 or 8 years ago. And since then I've learned a lot about the terms overweight and obese because they're tied to the BMI scale, which is what the medical industry uses to kind of assess your health risks based on the ratio of your body weight over the square of your height, right? So it doesn't take into account body fat. It doesn't take into account muscle mass. It doesn't take into account gender, race, you know, any of those things. It's literally just your body mass and your height. And the data that was used to create the BMI was based on European white men from about 200 years ago. So it's a completely unuseful scale based on data that does not apply to the population that's being. So the words overweight and obese are categories on the BMI scale. So I prefer not to use those as well. And so I'm kind of like, all right, well, these euphemisms are kind of stupid and silly. And like, let's just use the word fat. I think that's where I got to in my mind is like, fat's just a word. And the only reason it's painful is because of the meaning that we give it. And I'm with the size of my body. I think I'm awesome. Like, I think my body can do a lot of amazing things. And so that sort of led me to decide, I'm just going to start using the word fat. And not only am I going to call myself fat, I'm going to encourage other people to use it. I'm going to normalize it. I'm going to destigmatize it. And so that's why I call myself a fat running coach. Because also it makes people stop for a second and go, wait, what did she just say?
I stopped on your profile. And, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so from a branding perspective, it also makes a lot of sense because nobody else is out there going, hey, I'm your fat running coach.
Listen, this is the Profit Express. And we're just talking straight up branding and marketing. I thought it was a great idea, you know, because it gets people to pause and question it. And in this case, have you on a show. So I totally get it. And you're like, I listen, I'm 5'8". I'm not a tall guy. I'm like 170. And I think according to some charts, I'm considered overweight. I think I'm supposed to be like 155 or something. I don't know. So those numbers certainly can be misleading. And it's good that you're bringing it up.
Usain Bolt, what, the fastest man in the world, Usain Bolt is considered obese.
Is he really? okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's at least overweight, but I think because he's over 200 pounds, right? He's solid muscle. Like, you don't get that fast being like without any muscle. And so, Yeah. So like to me, that's like crazy. It, like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, right? Also considered obese. So
that
scale
is
crap.
Is baloney. Okay. So now let's talk about, so 1998, you get into running, you do your first 5K, it evolves and you realize at one point, hey, I don't like this 9-to-5 baloney. I think I can start my own business and help other women, you know, in my situation. Let's talk about your business. I think you have a very interesting business model. What is it that you do and specifically and that you offer?
So I do, right now I'm completely an online business. When I started, it was personal training and it was brick and mortar. I actually had a studio, but I migrated that to be online because I wanted to have a little more freedom to go and do wherever I wanted to. So it's completely online and it's a membership-based business. And so my clients just join and they get access to myself. And I actually have three certified running coaches that work for me. They're all plus size. They're all fat running coaches, just like me. They're of a variety of sizes, but they've all been certified by our RCA. And basically we just have group coaching calls every month where anybody in the membership can come and ask questions. And we do like one time we'll have a call that's dedicated just to people who are training for a 5K or just the people who are training for half marathon. I'm super proud of this. One of my clients just did her first, it's not her first ultra, but it was her longest ultra. She did 100-mile run this past weekend. And I was like, that's a big milestone for my community. And I feel like it just shows what fat bodies are capable of, that, you know, you can be fat and you can still run 100 miles. I mean, that's just amazing. But yeah, it's basically a membership based online community. And it's a pretty amazing community, if I do say so myself.
You're allowed to. Absolutely. All right. So now if you talk about the whole, an element is fat shaming. There's an element of self-esteem. You know, you shared the situation like with your mom growing up, counting calories on the refrigerator and writing them on the fridge. That ain't easy. You know, I can understand how, you know, that doesn't end well. So, social media has given everybody an opinion. Social media has made a lot of weak people feel brave. And they spew their opinions, they spew venom and negativity. So let me ask you this then. You're out there as, you know, the fat running coach. You obviously have a long list of accomplishments, you know, the marathons, the races, you've built this community. Do you have people who have attacked you on social saying, why are you doing this? You know, you're not healthy. The people who follow you are not healthy. You know, you're doing a disservice. Have you encountered any of that? You have.
All the time.
Do you
every
really?
Every single day. I had somebody tell me I should be arrested for spreading lies on a daily basis. I have people that say, if I don't lose weight, I'll be dead before I'm 50. And I'm like, well, I'm gonna be turning 55 next month, so I think I'm doing okay. I have people telling me I'm gonna ruin my knees, and I'm like, well, I've been running for 25 years. They seem to be okay. I'm like, I can deadlift 200 pounds. I strength train a lot. Like, my knees are like, I take care of my body. I take care of my joints. But mostly I just get people, they just think that fat people should lose weight, but please don't exercise in public to do that because I don't want to look at it. So it's kind of like a catch 22. And so I'm just real good with the delete and blocks because for most of the time, I don't even engage with folks like that because.
Right. No, you should.
It's just not worth it, right? I'm not going to win. I'm not going to change any mind. So I just delete them and block them and kind of go on my merry way. But yeah, it's out there every single day, multiple times a day.
Okay. So, all right. So it's something you encounter all the time. And like you said, you got to just filter it out. Now, how do you respond? Because, if you look at the science, or if you look at, you know, opinions of professionals in the, you know, I'm saying doctors as professionals, who have correlations to being overweight to certain ailments. What's your thought on that? I mean, you know, you seem to be healthy.
Skinny people get diabetes too. In fact, the interesting thing is my mom, who was so obsessed with her weight, and you know, tried to maintain of a weight of about 120, 130 pounds. Type 2 diabetes. She had type 2 diabetes. And I don't, right? I get my blood checked all the time. I don't. Thin people have just as many of these diseases as, you know, overweight people. And I think there are maybe some correlations that you can find studies that show, yep, being overweight is terrible for your health. You can also find plenty of studies that show actually being overweight has a protective effect. So I think it's a matter of like which doctor you talk to, which data set you choose. So I kind of feel like I'm just going to do me. And, you know, I have a sports doctor that I work with, you know, if I do have an injury or something, and I used to go to an orthopedic doctor because I did have knee problems about 10 years ago. And I was diagnosed with osteoarthritis in both knees. And my doctor said, well, you probably should just not run anymore. And I said, oh, okay, well, thank you for your opinion. And then I found another doctor and I said, hey, I want to run. I want to train for a marathon. What can we do? And he said, all right, well, let's get to work. These are all the things we can do. And I said, I don't want surgery. And he's like, no problem. I got you. And we got into a really great strength training program and it worked out great. So I feel like it's like one doctor's opinion is not the end all be all, because everyone has different anecdotes that they can share of, you know, somebody like my client who's fat and just did a 100-mile race and her knees are great. And she's, I think she's a couple years older than I am. So it's just kind of, I'm not sure if that answered your question, but I get a little bit frustrated. You know, with people who are just like, well, studies show. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I have studies that show the opposite. So, I don't know. I have a master's degree in chemistry, so I'm like really good at like looking at scientific data. So anyway,
okay. Oh, so you have a little bit of background for sure. So
I do.
So,
yeah. Is it,
Jill, this is funny then. So I was talking to my wife last night, and she often asks, "Oh, who are you going to have on the show?" Right. And I said, actually, there's this woman, Jill Angie. I came across her, you know, not the average runner on Instagram. I told her about the background. And she's like, you know, it's funny you say that. You know, I said, you know, she's a fat running coach. And she says she's fat. And again, this is like new to me, you know. And she said, Tim, you know what? It doesn't surprise me. In her office, she worked with this woman who, and this is, I'm not going to mention names, but She had a coworker for a number of years. As my wife described her, the woman ate super healthy. She said she ate like a bird. She was stick thin, and she had really high blood pressure. So, okay, and it was just kind of like underscores the point that you just made. There's unhealthy fat people. There's unhealthy skinny people. So the way I'm looking at it and what I think is great about what you're doing, besides your brilliant branding and marketing, by the way, is I'm thinking, you know, why do I run? I run for two reasons. I run for cardiovascular health, and for me, it's a great stress reliever. To me, it's escape. I'm out there, like you said, freedom, right? You love getting out there, lacing up and just getting out there. So to me, if you have a skinny person sitting on a couch and you have a fat person sitting on the couch, they can both equally benefit just getting off the couch and going out and running. Right? That's how I'm kind of looking at it.
Yeah.
You know, and
I mean, regardless of your body, right? Like running is just a great way to exercise and move your body and that's my job, is to make sure more people understand that.
That's it. Let me ask you, did you have a favorite race, a race in particular that meant a lot to you?
The Philadelphia Half Marathon I've done it a few times, and it was my first half marathon, and you know, Philly's my hometown. And so, I would say that's the one. I absolutely love that race. It's a great one.
Yeah. Well, how many of you run, by the way, these half marathons?
Half marathons? Gosh, I don't even know.
Or
I've trained for one marathon.
Right.
In 2019, I trained for the Philadelphia Marathon, and I did all the training. I did, you know, I'm like ran 20 miles, like blew my own mind that I could run 20 miles. Race day showed up and it was sleeting. It was like 30 degrees and sleeting. And within, before we even started the race, my feet were soaked. Everything was soaked. So at the half marathon mark at that race, I had like blisters and I was so uncomfortable. And I said, this is not the day I'm going to finish my marathon. I don't want to, I don't want to do the next 13 miles like this. So, so I said, okay, I'm just going to do it again next year. And then COVID happened.
All right. You'll get there.
But I am my next marathon attempt will be the Philadelphia Marathon in 2023. So I'm getting ready to start training for that. But yeah, awesome. I mean, Philly's a great race town. So
yeah. All right. Well, I follow you on Instagram, so I'm sure I'll get the updates. Absolutely. I know it. Quick question on branding. So do you think if you got skinny, it would hurt your brand and your following?
That's a question I ask myself a lot. I mean, I think the chances of me getting skinny are pretty slim to none. Although my weight does fluctuate, you know, 20 to 30 pounds, you know, it's been up, you know, COVID, I kind of like was, you know, kind of embraced a little more resting on the couch than normal. And so my weight has gone up a bit, but I think that if I got down to what would most people would consider like a typical runner's weight, then yeah, it probably would hurt my branding. But I don't think I'm in any danger of that. So.
Okay. It crossed my mind. So
think it would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's interesting you ask that. Cause I have kind of asked myself that question. Like, what would happen if I lost weight? Like, I think it would depend on how much weight I lost, I guess.
Yeah.
If I'm still visibly fat, then I think people will be cool with it.
Well, listen, and I want to thank you, you know, Tim Healy, the host of the Profit Express, because one thing that I've had a hard time with, and it's just the crap that I have in my head, is, you know, being genuine or authentic. You clearly are genuine and authentic with who you are. You own it. And for me, that's something, you know, not that I'm not being genuine, but like letting it out there and just being comfortable, I sometimes have a hard time with. So you do a great job. I want to thank you for coming on board, sharing the story. And people can follow you on Instagram. It's at Not Your Average Runner.
Yep, that's it.
Awesome. Well, Jill, listen, thank you so much. I've loved the conversation. I appreciate it, and continue doing great work. More people need to know about your message and get off the couches and get out there. Lace them up.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jill. And this is The Profit Express. Always remember to be on the lookout every Wednesday as great shows like this one with your fat running coach, Jill Angie, download. And listen, it's all about awareness. It's all about ideas that can get you headed in the right direction as we look each and every day to continue to win the battle for business. As always, thanks for your time. Thanks for being on board the Profit Express.